A lifelong interest and concern for trees and the canopy led Nalini Notkarni to an academic career studying and understanding trees and innovating activities and programs that raise awareness of the importance of trees and nature in general. Nalini was featured speaker at Mountain Film 2022, but we never got to hear her talk. She contracted a case of COVID the day she arrived, so was unable to participate much. This year will be different. At Mountain Film 2023, Nalini is one of the people on a panel in the Moving Mountains, Moving Minds, or Mind Moving Mountains series, this one on the generative power of disturbance in the lives of people and our planet. Nalini will be also part of a screening of Between Earth and Sky. That's the title of a book she wrote. And this is a short doc directed by her nephew, Andrew Notkarni. The film won Best Documentary at the Big Sky Festival in March. This is Susan B. Brock, Telluride Inside and Out. Delighted, honored to be speaking with Nalini Notkarni. Nalini, thanks so much for joining me.
Sure, you bet. So, I'm delighted to be here.
Thank you. So would you please share something of your backstory? Where did you grow up? Did your parents encourage an interest in science? Did you focus on science at university? And how did your career evolve?
Sure. I actually grew up in Bethesda, Maryland. My father was a scientist. He worked at the National Institutes of Health. My mother, on the other hand, studied languages and communication. So I sort of had a combination of both. I was very interested in trees and forests. And I decided that I would like to spend my life trying to do something to help trees. I chose an academic pathway to do that, to understand better tree and forest ecology. I started out sort of with a typical straight, you know, asking curiosity-driven questions. But then as I became more aware of the need for conservation, especially in tropical rainforests that are facing difficult human activities like deforestation and forest conversion, I decided I wanted to do more for conservation and became very interested in carrying out public engagement, raising awareness of the importance of trees in human lives. And that's kind of how I've become both a forest ecologist and a science communicator, and looking forward to communication at the Telluride Festival.
Thank you for that answer. At what point in your life did this interest in trees really heat up? And really, why trees? I mean, there's so many paths, so many doors to the study of nature and sustainability in general. Why trees?
Well, I think because trees for me, just as a kid, were really a place of beauty and of refuge. I grew up with four brothers and sisters, with dogs and cats, with homework, with sort of a mixed culture background. My dad was from India. My mother was from Brooklyn, New York. And so for me, trees became this place of refuge, of quiet, and a place where I belonged. And I felt like trees were strong, they were supportive, they didn't demand anything from me. They weren't asking me about whether I got straight A's on my report card or not. And so for me, I guess it was a place that I, in a way, I wanted to pay back trees somehow, to thank them for the refuge that they provided. And so although trees are just one of the many elements of nature that really need our attention, really need our protection and conservation, for me, they're ambassadors to the rest of nature. They, to me, I think to many people, they represent just these beautiful, quiet, sedentary, giving objects in nature that provide so much for humans and can be a portal to both understanding and protecting nature.
Thank you. Would you please preview the Minds Moving Mountains talk about disturbance and recovery?
Yes. The whole workshop that I will be doing with my colleagues Tierney Tees and Carol, three people who have experienced disturbance themselves in different ways, both personally and professionally, is really kind of a meditation, a rumination, a reflection on how disturbance is actually ubiquitous in our lives. Although in many ways we try to suppress it or deny it or say, oh, no, disturbance isn't going to happen. But inevitably it does happen in unpredictable, unresolvable ways in certain ways. But I think that all three of us have come to understand from both our personal standpoints and our professional standpoints that disturbances can actually be sort of a generative force. They can place us in a location where we can be more creative, where we can become more aware of the gifts that we've been given, been more aware of the resources that we have access to. And so although we might think of disturbance in a negative way, and that's manifested, I think, in our language, I think if we sort of shift that scene, if we shift our lenses just a little bit, all three of us have sort of come to the conclusion that disturbance, not in a Pollyannish way, but rather we can view disturbance in a way that can present positive outcomes to our lives and to situations on our planet. And that's what we'll be talking about.
Great. Thank you. According to your website, your work falls into four distinct pockets: academics, science in prison, public engagement, and science, humanities, and the arts. In what ways do those spaces overlap? In what ways do they differ?
Well, that is a great question. I feel that, in fact, I'll back up and say that at this stage of my life, which has been, my life has been mainly focused in academia and academic and scientific research, I see that as the dominant thread. But I've also come to understand with my activities and collaborations and partnerships with people outside of science, people outside of academia, that the humanities and the arts, correctional institutions like state prisons and county jails, juvenile detention centers, all of those have elements that can be interwoven together to create a tapestry of understanding and conservation of nature. And so by collaborating with prison wardens to bring conservation projects inside prisons, by collaborating with religious people to provide sermons on trees and spirituality, to work with artists to create artworks that demonstrate the beauty and aesthetic values of trees and forests, I feel that I've been able to create objects and partnerships and outcomes that weave those together. They don't blur them, but they weave together these different threads of ways of knowing, of understanding, and communicating to create a tapestry that will enhance understanding and protection of nature.
How effective has science in the prison program been?
I think it's been very effective. Of course, the system of mass incarceration in our country, which incarcerates over 2 million adults and 50,000 youth in custody, has a long way to go in terms of being changed. But our work to bring science lectures, to bring scientists inside correctional institutions, and to bring hands-on conservation participatory work on conservation and ecological restoration projects, I think has been successful in engaging people who are living and working in a place that is almost completely devoid of nature. What we've been able to see is that the inmates are excited, they're enthusiastic, and they're knowledgeable about participating in conservation. And so their efforts to rear, for example, the Oregon spotted frog, the Taylor checker spot butterfly, building nesting boxes for the American kestrel, all of those have demonstrated that if you offer anybody, any people, even those who are incarcerated in nature deficit institutions, the opportunity to participate in conservation, what we have found is there is nothing but enthusiasm, a desire to learn more, and gratitude for the opportunity to contribute to conservation.
Yeah, talk about a paradigm for disturbance into recovery.
Yes, exactly. That's right, Susan.
So now please talk a bit about your nephew's award-winning documentary that I referred to before. I understand Andrew Short is largely about you and your work, and that disturbance and recovery, the theme of your talk, is a through line of this film. Is that true?
That's exactly right, Susan. That's very well described. The film, the short documentary, is 26 minutes long. It's a beautifully edited and beautifully filmed production that with filming took place both in the forests of the Pacific Northwest, in the forests of Costa Rica, Monteverde, Costa Rica, and also in my own office and lab here in Salt Lake City. And Andrew and his team have been able to, I think, put together a very wonderful, compelling film that holds the theme of how does an individual go about pursuing her research, in my case, forest canopy research in tropical and temperate rainforests, when she's disturbed, so to speak, by an unexpected fall, a five-story fall from the top of a tree down to the forest floor. And it illustrates my recovery, the philosophy that went along with my recovery, the need for a web of support, and the acceptance of the fact that when one recovers from a disturbance of really any kind, one ends up not at the original state that one started at, nor the disturbed state that, you know, was sort of at the apex of that discovery or mm-hmm. disturbance, but rather at what we call a third state, a state that's neither the original state nor the disturbed state, but something new, something different. And that's really, I think, what this film is about, is no matter what the disturbance is, there's a common theme that addresses or pertains to all of these disturbances, whether it's a divorce or a cyclone or a hurricane or a fall from a tree. I think all of those involved will have to come to some sort of reconciliation that they will never return to that original state, but that there's a potential for a new and exciting third state that might lead to a different way of looking at and interacting with the world.
One definition of yoga is movement from one place to a higher, better place. And I think that applies here.
I love that, Susan. That's a wonderful imagery and one which many of the Mountain Film visitors probably can relate to very well. So I will keep that image in my mind as I think about disturbance and recovery.
Yeah, thank you. So now, what are you most looking forward to about returning to Telluride and to Mountain Film?
Well, I am looking forward to coming back to Telluride and Mountain Film because I really feel so bad about missing what was a fabulous film festival last year when I got COVID. So I'm looking forward to the interactions that are going to be going on amongst people who love documentary films, who love films about the environment. I'd like to learn more about the power of films and how they can transform people's attitudes and approaches to conservation. I'll be looking for films that might be relevant to people doing conservation in tropical regions, because I'm learning as I enter this film, this world of documentary film, really how powerful films are at conveying messages efficiently and effectively, aesthetically, and with a scientifically sound basis. So I'm just going to be seeing as many films as I can, to talking to as many people as I can, and to sharing what I might have to share, what might be beneficial to other people as well.
Thank you. This has been Susan DeBrock, Telluride Inside and Out. Absolutely delighted to have been speaking with Nalini Nadkarni. Again, she will be two places you want to be at Mountain Film, in the Mind Moving Mountain program about the generative power of disturbance in the lives of people and our planet. And then she'll be present at the screening of a film named for the book she wrote, Between Earth and Sky. The film was made by her nephew, Andrew. Thank you very much, Nalini. I look forward to meeting you.
Thank you, Susan. Thanks for this opportunity to talk to people who will be coming to Mountain Film.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.